Welcome back to What Do They Know podcast. The guys are back just in time for playoffs. They'll break down all the matchups for the wild card weekend, go over all the coaching firings from Black Monday, and look forward to the 2026 draft. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the What Do They Know podcast after a brief holiday break. Nick and Jeff back with you as always. Hope y'all had a great Christmas. Hope y'all had a great New Year. We took some time off. Jeff spent what seemed like forever in Arizona.
I felt the same way. We've been around family for 3 weeks. Oh, man.
We went out there for a week. Me, Christy, and the kids. That was fun. And now we're back. Just in time to kick off the playoffs.
Yeah, we're in the new year. Week 18. Fresh in the books. Well, you know, all part of the plan.
Yeah,
we got the timing
it's
down
just
to
just the way you draw it up.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm still thawing out. I went to the Jets and the Bills game yesterday.
Yeah.
Me, Christy, her brother, and his wife all went. We did all the things. We did the full tailgating experience. We bought these tickets back in August before the season even started. Before we knew how good or how bad either team was going to be.
Right.
Got a good deal on them from a family friend and just figured why not. And so yesterday was cold. It was really cool. As a fan of football, I felt it was really cool to be there for the last game. What now is going to be like the real last game.
Yeah.
At Highmark, they gave us these cool coins. It's got the January 2026. It's got the Bills logo on there. Uh-huh. I'm not sure if you can see that on the screen or not. And then it says, you know, I was there. It gives the stadium, the date, a bunch of fun facts about it. This is coin number 32,691 of 70,000 coins.
Imagine who the person who got number one.
Dude, I
wonder if that person goes on eBay eventually.
And then they gave you these towels, which I actually think this is almost cooler.
Yeah.
So for those of you looking, it's a towel, but it looks like a replica, like almost like ticket stub.
Mm-hmm.
And you can write your seat and your section and everything on there. It says, you know, Jets versus Bills,
right,
final regular season game. So very cool to be there for that. All the pregame stuff. They had a flyover from one of the Army bases right next to the stadium, which was really cool. But I told you earlier, all that was awesome. And then as soon as the game started, I'm like, all right, we can go. Because, you know, the game was a disaster. It was exactly what I thought it was going to be. The Jets were hopeless with Brady Cook at quarterback. He's atrocious.
Let him cook.
It was 12 degrees with the wind chill. I was freezing. And so we ended up leaving in the third quarter.
Mm.
It was 28-0. We left in the third quarter. We went and gotten some wings. Also, Wingnuts, listening, we would love a shout out or a sponsorship. If you want to come sponsor the What Do They Know podcast, this place in Buffalo, Wingnuts, I had heard all about it. Josh Allen loves it. Mm-hmm. The guys at Barstool love it. Their thing is size, sauciness, and crunch for their wings. That's the three things they're known for. And dude, let me tell you, they hit all three. They exceeded my expectations, and I had really high expectations because the pictures on like their social media, these wings look like a masterpiece and they were freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, and you're like a wing connoisseur.
I'm very picky with my wings and they hit all three of those buckets, which is a sign of a good wing.
Right.
It was the best part of the day. Wingnuts, best part of the day. Shout out Wingnuts. So come sponsor the What Do They Know podcast. I will be driving an hour and a half up to Buffalo, regularly now to go get those.
They don't have any other
They have two locations. To my knowledge, they have two locations, both in Buffalo.
Both in Buffalo. That's
so they got to come to Rochester.
Right.
But, all right, let's jump into it.
Okay.
So week 18, we got a full show. Lots we're going to break down, but we're going to start with what happens every Monday after week 18, affectionately known as Black Monday, which is the coaching firings.
Right.
I'll be honest, there actually wasn't as many as I expected there to be today.
I agree with you.
There's only six total, and there was already two going into today.
Yep.
So there's been four today. So we'll break them all down. We'll give our thoughts. I'll just go through the list real quick. So obviously the Giants are open. They fired Brian Daboll earlier in the year. They went 4-13. The Titans fired Brian Callahan earlier in the season. They went 3-14. The biggest surprise of all of them to me was Raheem Morris with the Falcons. Only his second season. They went 8-9 both seasons.
Right.
So that was a surprise. They did that yesterday, literally like
right after the game.
2 or 3 hours after the game, so they wasted no time. Yep. The Browns fired Kevin Stefanski today. They went 5-12. They finished the season strong. The Raiders fired Pete Carroll, 3-14. They actually ended up with the number one overall pick in the draft, which we'll get into. Mm-hmm. And then the Cardinals fired Jonathan Gannon, who went 3-14.
Yeah.
That one surprised me as well. I had a feeling, and you and I talked about it a lot on the show, if they were going to stick with Gannon and get rid of Murray or vice versa, or if they were just going to clean house. And I was kind of under the impression that they would trade Murray or release him or whatever and give Gannon one more year to see what he could do.
Yeah.
So that one surprised me.
Yeah. I mean, I think if they would have hovered around 500, maybe he would have kept his job. But I mean, going into losing the last nine in the year, I think it kind of solidified what route they were taking. And I mean, so they were very competitive in the first half of the season, but as soon as the season got away from them, it just seemed like they got blown out.
And I think that's what did it. It wasn't just the fact that they lost; it was how bad the losses were.
Yeah.
Because they were not really competitive for the last quarter, maybe even half of the year.
Yeah, especially with your divisional opponents who you're gonna see twice a year,
right?
And obviously we know the stories of the three playoff teams in San Francisco, Seattle, and LA, but at the same time, to get blown out in the fashion that you did against those three teams, it just doesn't bode well for Jonathan Gannon to keep his head coaching position, and obviously it cost him his job. And honestly, I would still move on from Kyler Murray. I would not.
No, I think that's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
I personally, I'd be shocked if he's with the Cardinals in March, which is when he's due his next chunk of money.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to the coaches, the Falcons also fired their GM, which I think I kind of feel like Raheem Morris was just a casualty of the decision to draft Michael Penix. To me, that was more about them botching that situation with paying Kirk Cousins, mm-hmm. and then also trading up to get Michael Penix number 8, or maybe they didn't even trade up. I don't remember if they did, but they took him 8th overall after they just paid Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
So to me, that I feel like the Falcons was more about the GM than it really was the head coach.
Yeah.
And they just decided to do a clean sweep and clean house. The Dolphins also have a GM vacancy now. On the flip side, as of now, they have not fired Mike McDaniel. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Maybe he did enough once again to save his job.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a name that some people were expecting. They didn't hear him today. I still think we have more coming, personally. I think if it were to make me pick right now, I think that John Harbaugh in Baltimore is going to be gone, whether it's a mutual parting of ways or whether it's a firing.
Right.
It wouldn't surprise me if Mike Tomlin, even after winning the division, is gone. I told you earlier, I think it's odd that the Jets didn't put out anything today saying that they're sticking with Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, how are you feeling about Aaron Glenn, by the way?
I like him a lot.
As a person or as a coach?
So a lot of guys on Jets Twitter, which Jets Twitter is mostly negative, so you have to take that for what it's worth, and take that with a grain of salt, right? But there's one guy in particular, he just keeps tweeting the same thing,
mm-hmm.
which is a rhetorical question, but what does Aaron Glenn do well?
Mm-hmm.
What does he do? That's what he wants to know. What does he do well as a head coach? He's a defensive minded coach,
mm-hmm.
who had their team make NFL history for not getting a single interception all year.
Yeah, he's a DB.
And he's a DB. Correct.
Yeah.
They were non-competitive the last 5 or 6 weeks. They got blown out. I saw something. I think they lost their last 4 games all by 25 or more.
Woo!
Which
that's rough.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. That's just unwatchable football.
It really has been. Yeah, it's been brutal. I don't know. Here's why I think he's safe.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's safe because a coach coaching for his job would not have started Brady Cook over Tyrod Taylor.
Right.
Because you cannot tell me that Brady Cook gives them a better chance to win. If he was concerned about winning games to keep his job, Tyrod Taylor would have been starting.
Okay.
So I think he's safe, but I just think it's odd. I think it's odd that Woody hasn't come out and said, hey, we're sticking with Glenn, we're running it back, blah, 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 because teams do that. The Bengals did it today with Zach Taylor saying he's coming back.
Right.
The Dolphins did it last year with Mike McDaniel saying, hey, he's coming back, but the Jets haven't said a single word.
Yeah.
So that is a little
peculiar.
It's a little peculiar to me. So we'll see if anything comes of that. But I think he's going to be back. I do. Okay. So of these six openings, which one do you think is the most desirable?
Giants.
Agreed. I think that's actually very easy.
Yeah.
I think the Giants are actually a few pieces away from being a dang good football team.
Yeah.
I think Scadaboo coming back, Malik Nabers coming back, Dart being healthy the whole year.
Yeah. You got Abdul Carter there.
Abdul Carter on defense. He needs to.
You have some budding superstars there on that team as a whole.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to be one of those plug and play, to be honest with you. As much as flack that Schoen has gone out of being the GM there and letting, Saquon Barkley and, Daniel Jones walk away, he's built a team that, given the right head coaching situation, I think they are a head coach away from being very, very, very competitive. I mean, Jackson Dart another year, Scadaboo another year. I think that is a young and promising, maybe surprise contender next year, especially if Philadelphia maybe gets bounced in the first round. Obviously, we know the drama behind that team that unfolded this year. I mean, if that situation implodes, all of a sudden you're looking at, successors in the NFC East, surprise teams. Obviously, the Cowboys are always up there. They're always competitive. But, I mean, the Giants could be one of those teams that goes, worst to first sort of situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're definitely the best opening. I'm trying to figure out who I think the worst opening is. That's tough.
I mean, I'd probably go Cardinals.
You think so?
I think so.
So I actually think the Cardinals have a lot more talent than 3-14.
Oh, I believe so as well. But
I think that one, they have the third overall pick.
Yeah.
They have Marvin Harrison Jr. They have Michael Wilson showing, he had over 1,000 yards this year.
Yeah.
James Conner coming back from injury.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. They were so injured this year.
My thing with it is, where do you go with the quarterback situation? That's the thing you're going to walk into. And obviously, they're keeping their GM and Monty Austin for it. So how much power is the new head coach actually going to have over Monty? To me, it's going to be – I mean, I look at the other situations. Titans obviously just had Cam Ward picked number one overall. At least you're set there in terms of what your quarterback situation is going to look like, and you're just going to have to develop from there. The Raiders have the number one overall pick. You can have your pick there. Atlanta, they have more talent than I feel like than the 8-9 team. But as we talked about, Raheem Morris kind of I think he underperformed as a head coach. And I think Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, kind of realized that. That's not a team that should have gotten 8-9 2 years in a row, to be honest with you. That's a team that should have at least won double-digit, have 10 wins at least one of these years. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, but I agree with you that their GM, Terry Fontenot, was the main culprit for the downfall of that organization right now. But honestly, I don't know. I look at these quarterback situations, and I think the most unattractive one is the Cardinals. And that's kind of like the main focus that the head coaches come in now, is their quarterback situation. I mean, Kyler Murray has a 50-plus million cap hit this upcoming year. It's just not a pretty situation. But, I mean, that, and I feel like Atlanta might be, because all of a sudden you're debating what to do with Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix, or do you even go with another, another quarterback, and all of a sudden you start fresh there. I mean, there's some decisions there, but I think overall, I don't know. I just feel like the Cardinals are the worst.
For me, it's either the Browns or the Titans.
Okay.
I just think that, number one, I think Stefanski's damn good.
Stefanski's good. Should get another.
He will. I wouldn't be surprised if he's even coaching next year.
Yeah.
The Titans. I'm on record with what I think about Cam Ward. I still get crap on that on TikTok.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
All the time. People are tweeting at me and or TikToking at me, whatever you want to call it, and saying basically what an idiot I am for that. But the Titans are, in my opinion, several pieces away.
Yeah.
And I think they have the fourth pick. They don't need a quarterback. I guess that's a good thing, but right. I don't know. For me, it's either the Titans or the Browns, because the Browns still have a lot going on in their QB room, and now they need to find a head coach.
Yeah, at least with the Browns, at least you have what you have in terms of Myles Garrett, and that defense is at least pretty damn good. And I mean, that division is, as we saw this year,
it's gettable.
It's winnable for sure. But in terms of the Titans, obviously you look at Indy lost, what, 8 of the last 9 or whatever it is. Jacksonville won that division. And then you have Houston there as well. I mean, that's not favorable for a head coach trying to create a winning culture with the Titans when you have that those division opponents there. But I look at the Cardinals and talking about divisions. I'll still go back to that. That's tough to go walk into.
It's brutal.
Yep. So it is what it is. Yes, Titans are probably the closest thing to a clear-cut rebuild because they're definitely the team that lacks the most talent all around. But I don't know. To me, at least as long as you have that number one quarterback solidified, I think that makes everything a little bit more easier mentally.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go over the draft order.
Okay.
So the draft is officially set. What is it? 1 through 18.
1 through 18.
All of those teams are decided. So now is time where, you know, mock drafts and all those fun things, you know, are coming out. What stands out to you about the top 10 or even top 18?
I'm going to go back to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I'm looking at the QB prospects and I think it's a two horse race in terms of, Fernando Mendoza out of Indiana and Dante Moore out of Oregon.
Agreed.
And we talked about the
Cardinals. And he might not even declare.
Yeah, he might not
Dante
even
Moore looks, sounds like he may decide to go back to Oregon.
Right. And then, so all of a sudden, you're looking at the Cardinals as being a QB star. Then what do they turn to? You know, or do they force their hand and draft a QB at 3? Do they trade down? Do they just pick the best player available? I don't know. That's a peculiar situation, precarious situation for the Cardinals. I'm looking at that for them, and I'm just wondering what's going to happen there. I that's not a position I envy for the Cardinals, even though it's the 3rd overall pick. And you can go a number of ways. You have a number of options there, but I think they're probably a solidified QB away from really competing. And unfortunately, I don't think they're going to grab that at number 3.
I couldn't agree more. I'm even, you know, the Jets sit there at number 2. I'm kind of like, for me, it's Mendoza or nobody.
Right.
If Mendoza is not there at 2, I'm not reaching on Dante Moore because I think personally he's a reach at this point.
Yeah.
So I, you know, save it for 27, find a bridge guy, whether that's Brissett, whatever. So I hate that the Jets are at 2 because I could see them taking Dante Moore and it not working. If he declares,
yeah, that'd be rough.
I love, I'm not just saying this to blow smoke, but I love the Saints sitting there at 8.
Oh, I do too.
With the fact that they seems like they have their quarterback and Tyler Shuck, who played phenomenal the last, you know, quarter of the season.
Yeah.
The offense, you know, they could literally take the best player available at 8 and you know, figure out what their need is, whether it's offense, whether it's, you know, a piece on defense, knowing that they're going into next year feeling good about their quarterback position.
Right. No, Tyler Shuck definitely blew a lot of people out of the water in terms of his performance. It seems like he has a full grasp in terms of what Kellen Moore wants to do with that offense. Obviously, the one thing you kind of hope for that'll bring it up to speed is a running game. That's something that never really got going. Obviously, Alvin Kamara was out for, I feel like, the majority of the second half of the year. And then they were down to, like, their 4th string running back anyway. So this is it's a very interesting pick to have, especially if QBs are going to be off the board, you know, 1 and maybe 2. Obviously, you're looking for the Saints probably to build around Tyler Shuck, make an offense around him. Obviously, he built a great repertoire with Chris Olave. So, I mean, you're looking at maybe a wide receiver there with Carnell Tate or Jordan Tyson out of ASU.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, if you're looking to get a little bit younger on the running back position, you also got the guy out of Notre Dame.
Jeremiah Love.
Yep, Jeremiah Love. So, I mean, there's all sorts of talent, but they need some help in terms of a second wide receiver and their guard play. I think those are the two main positions that they need to look at. I think guard is probably going to be more a free agency thing. I didn't see really any interior offensive linemen that are projected to go that high in the top 10. So it'd be very surprising if they forced themselves. They'd have to really love the player. But honestly, coming off the draft that they just had with Tyler Shuck in the second round, I'm all in, regardless of who they pick, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So it scares the crap out of me that the Chiefs have a top 10 pick.
That was my next, bullet point right there. Yeah, the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes getting healthy. It's going to be interesting to see where they go, especially with Travis Kelce, that decision looming. Obviously, they lack a lot. I feel like a lot of offensive playmakers.
Yeah.
Obviously, Rashee Rice, I don't think he's a true number one, but we'll see. They'll have options there at number nine for Patrick Mahomes to build some sort of offensive efficiency that they had, you know, in years prior. So that is very scary to see them at nine, though. Have a top 10 pick. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
To say the least.
Yep.
Anything else?
No, just that the fact that congratulations to you for the Colts missing the playoffs and you guys having the 16th overall pick.
Yeah, that couldn't have worked out better.
I know.
For the Jets, they have number 2 and they have number 16.
Yeah.
Which when they made that trade, that Colts pick was going to be like 28 or 29.
Mm-hmm.
And then they obviously literally lost, I think, every game after that. So it's been awesome. So I'm excited to see what they do there. They have 3 picks in the top 33. So they have the second pick in the first round. Excuse me. Second pick in the first round. They have 16. They have the first pick in the second round. And then they have, I think it's 44 from the Cowboys. So they have in the Quinn and Williams trade.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they have 4 picks in the top 45.
Yeah.
So they can either hopefully draft correctly,
yeah,
or they can throw some picks around and make something happen.
Yeah, talk about a restructure right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they have 3 first rounders next year.
Woo.
So we'll see what they do with them.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have options.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Perfect.
All right. Well, let's go back and summarize very quickly because it's not pretty.
Do we have to?
Our preseason predictions.
Do we have to?
So we do this every year, right? We look back at who we said was going to win the divisions, the wild card teams, our Super Bowl predictions,
yeah,
which ironically enough, as bad as we both did, both of our Super Bowl predictions are technically still
viable,
alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was shocked when I went back and looked that I got 0 division winners correct in the AFC.
Yeah.
And I got 1 in the NFC.
Yeah. Same.
So I had Buffalo, Cincinnati,
mm-hmm,
Houston,
Kansas City, I'm guessing.
And Kansas City.
Yeah.
And then the only one I got right in the NFC was Philadelphia.
Same.
Yeah. And then I got 4 of 7 playoff teams in the AFC and 3 of 7 in the NFC.
You did better than me in the NFC.
Really?
Yeah, I only got 2. And I got 4 of 7.
I had the Cardinals in there. I had the Commanders in there.
I had Minnesota, who, you know, missed by a game.
Yeah.
And Washington in there. Obviously, the Jaden Daniels injury and
I'm not mad about that one.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah,
but
same with I picked the Bengals to be the 2 seed in the AFC. I'm not mad about that just because of the Burrow injury.
Right.
Like it is what it is.
Right.
But my biggest, I wrote down my biggest miss is definitely New England. I didn't even have them in the playoffs.
Yeah. No. I mean, I snuck them into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that took some convincing for me. I got them in at number 7 when I first originally did my playoff things. Well, my biggest miss was definitely the Cardinals winning that division.
Yeah.
Opposite day?
Yeah.
But it is what it is. They were competitive in
yep
the first half. They
yep
just let it go.
All right. Anything else on that? We can just say that's why we call it What Do They Know?
Yeah.
And be done.
Yeah.
All right. So before we break down Wild Card Weekend, the regular season is over, which means the opportunity to boost your name for awards is over. So we will give our predictions for MVP, Coach of the Year, and then Offensive and Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
So let's just go one by one. MVP, who do you got?
I struggled with this because I feel like Stafford definitely, you know, dropped the ball a little bit
towards the end.
The end. His interception numbers definitely rose up a little bit. But I mean, overall, I still gave it to Stafford.
Yeah, so did I.
I compared him and Drake May and Josh Allen. The main difference between Stafford and May is they had the same interception number, but Stafford has 15 more touchdowns.
15?
15.
That's a lot.
So 46-8 and then 31-8 in terms of passing touchdowns. So that was the biggest difference maker to me. Obviously, Stafford has a lot more talent around him, I feel like. with Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams and Kyren Williams in the backfield. That's a legitimate trio right there in terms of passing the ball. And in comparison with Drake May, you got Stephon Diggs, and then Mac Hollins and Travion Henderson in the backfield. I mean, who came on late as a rookie. So I think the talent level was definitely more in terms of, you know, arguable May's favor. Like, say, that should give him a little bit more of a pick-me-up. But in terms of 15 touchdown difference, I just had to give it to Stafford.
Yeah, it's funny because after last week when New England played the Jets, a lot of Drake May supporters were saying, were using that game as a reason why he should win MVP. Oh, he had 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Completion percentage was, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But I saw something yesterday and today, which I thought was very funny. It was the fact that Stafford supporters are using yesterday's Jets game against the Bills because they gave up 4 touchdowns to Mitchell to frickin' Trubisky.
Yeah, Trubisky.
So it's not like Drake May did anything amazing. The Jets are just awful.
Yeah.
And that was the people's point in using that. And so, you know, I think the quality of opponent that Stafford has played all year, when you factor in his division, is exceedingly difficult.
Yeah.
The Patriots as a team got crap for their schedule, saying they didn't play anybody. So for me, it's Stafford as well.
Yeah.
All right. Coach of the year. This one for me, like,
I hated this one. This is
brutal. Yeah. And you could give me several names and I'd be like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
So I'll let you go first.
Oh, you letting me, huh? Yeah. All right. I toss and turn about this one. I'm going with Mike McDonald.
That's who I wrote down as well.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. I just think coming out the winner and the number one seed win that division.
In the best division.
The best division in football, it kind of solidified. Especially with you know, Sam Darnold as your QB. He obviously had a career year last year in Minnesota, and then, you know, stepped up his game, solidifying his position as a top, you know, 10 QB in the league. So to me,
best defense, top 2-3 defense in football.
Yeah, up there with like the Texans and, you know, maybe some defenses in your own division. But to come out on top, I mean, this is a team that, you know, I feel like we were talking about the Rams the entire time winning that division. And steadily but surely, Seattle has just climbed the ranks and kept winning. And regardless of what we thought, honestly, we probably gave the division to the Rams as soon as they won that first matchup against Seattle, where Sam Darnold threw, 4 interceptions or whatever it was. So Mike McDonald doing the job that he did in Seattle, kudos to him. Honestly, you could convince me in terms of Kyle Shanahan, Ben Johnson in Chicago.
Mike Vrabel, Liam Cohen.
All those guys deserve praise. And honestly, I think it's going to be really, really close race in terms of Coach of the Year. I don't think you could go wrong with any of these guys, to be honest with you. But when it comes to, you know, winning your division in the toughest division in football, I think that sets you apart.
Yeah. So I'm right there with you. I wrote his name down as well. Another name who he won't win it. He may not even get votes, but I'm blown away when I saw what this team's record was.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Vikings and Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
Dude, I feel like when I think about them this year, I'm like, man, the Vikings were awful. But they finished 9-8.
Yeah.
Somehow. With McCarthy, who was hot garbage most of the year.
Yeah, he was injured part of the year, and when he played,
he was not good.
He's not great. You know?
Dude, Kevin O'Connell is the man.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that that team finished 9-8 is staggering to me.
Yeah.
So he won't win it, right? He didn't even make the playoffs, but I think the job that he did was incredible.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, I don't think Minnesota should be looking for a head coach anytime soon.
No.
As long as Kevin O'Connell feels like he should be coaching, he should be in Minnesota. That's a lifelong sort of coach. You just need to build around him.
So we can jump to defensive player of the year because I feel like this one is incredibly easy.
Yeah.
Miles Garrett. Right. He set the sack record yesterday, 23 sacks in a season. Also, I saw the breakdown of the amount of snaps that it took him to get there versus what TJ Watt did a couple of years ago when he tied the record, and Strahan when he set the record.
Mm-hmm.
And Garrett played like at least 100 less snaps. It's like it's stupid the difference in amount of snaps that it took them. So the dude is just a beast.
Yeah.
So kudos to him. That should be pretty easy.
Yeah.
Offensive player of the year. I'm curious to hear what you say on this one.
So I went I looked at three guys. I got my big three, which is Jackson Smith and Jigba, Trey McBride, and Puka Nacua. I think those three guys were phenomenal in their respective positions. Trey McBride obviously was phenomenal regardless of who was throwing the ball. I think he deserves a lot of praise in terms of what he did with the Cardinals. Smith and Jigba, I threw his name out for MVP conversation before our holiday break. And then Puka Nacua, I mean, that man just unleashed an otherworldly, you know, sort of era there in L.A. I think Devontae Adams got all the red zone targets at the end of the day, but Puka Nacua is the one who's making all the plays. To me, he can snag anything with one hand or one finger, to be honest with you. I would not be surprised by any sort of snag that Puka does. So I gave it to Puka. 129 receptions to lead the league. 1,715 yards. I think that's second behind Smith and Jigba, and 10 TDs, which is tied with Smith and Jigba. And then Trey McBride, 126 catches, 1,239 in terms of yards, and 11 TDs. To me, Trey McBride was surprising. Back when we were doing our preseason, you know, outlooks. Trey McBride was my number one tight end in terms of fantasy perspective. I thought Kyler Murray was going to, you know, bloom with Trey McBride. Obviously, that didn't really happen with Kyler Murray's standpoint, but Jacoby Brissett came in and just tossed him the ball, and Trey McBride responded, to be honest with you. But I think those three guys deserve all the praise. If Jonathan Taylor had, you know, kept up his pace, he would have been in there. James Cook deserves a little bit of praise for, you know, being consistent. And winning the rushing title, basically. But Puka is just, it just seems like he was always there when the Rams needed him. That's where I stand.
So you went with Puka?
I went with Puka.
Interesting. Okay. So I didn't go with any of those guys.
Okay.
So for me, it's Christian McCaffrey.
McCaffrey.
So when you look at his stats, right, mm-hmm. he was very, very good rushing the ball. He had 1,200 rushing yards.
Yeah.
17 total touchdowns.
Okay.
But he had 100 catches.
Yeah.
As a running back and almost 1,000 yards. He had 924 receiving yards.
He's basically a receiver.
That's stupid, dude. Yeah. That's number one production out of a running back at both running back and receiver. Yep. So for me, it's Christian McCaffrey. I mean, you could, you know, we talked about it midway through the season mm-hmm. where I thought maybe he was more of an MVP candidate over Jonathan Taylor.
McCaffrey?
Yeah. And so for me, like looking at his numbers, what he did, that's the offensive player of the year for me just because of the impact he had both rushing and passing.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'll be curious to see how that one plays out because I think that one's a difficult one too. Trey McBride, that one kind of threw me, which I could see the argument, right? He set the tight end receptions record,
yep.
but I just don't think they're going to give it to him.
Oh, probably not.
But I think it's a great honorable mention, and he did have a hell of a season.
Yeah, he deserves his flowers for
sure. Yeah, for sure. All right. So those are the awards. So now we will wrap up the show by going over each wildcard matchup. So we'll go over a storyline from each game that one of us sees, and then we'll pick the games.
Okay.
So first kicking off Saturday, by the way, I think I did this with you last year. I have this weird thing where I like to predict the time slots of all the games.
Yeah.
It brings me such joy. And so I made Justin, my brother-in-law, do it with me yesterday while we were sitting at dinner after the game, and I got them all right.
You got them all right?
I picked them all. So this is exactly how I thought that they would make these games. So kicking off Saturday, Rams at the Panthers. So it's 4:30 on Saturday on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers, they have played each other this year. And the Panthers actually, it was in Carolina like it is this week. And the Panthers actually beat them 31-28. This was back in November, last weekend in November. Mm-hmm. Stafford, I think, threw at least two picks. Bryce Young threw for a crap load of yards. For me, the key is the fact that they're getting Davante Adams back.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been missing since week, 14?
16, 15, 16. I think they shut him down.
Yeah. No, that's a game. I feel like the Rams experience should, definitely triumph. Obviously back then you had your hiccups down the road as a team. But now it's the playoffs. Now the mindset is turned up all the way to 10. I just don't foresee this Rams team led by Sean McVay to let up and stumble like they did back in week whatever it was when they lost to Carolina originally.
Yeah, I can't see it. I think it's great that the Panthers won the division, but at the end of the day, they're still 8-9.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Bryce Young, I think it was Kurt Warner said it, and I noticed it Saturday when I was watching the game against Tampa. His footwork is not good.
Bryce Young's?
He gets away with a lot because it seems like he's always, his feet are twisted or he's always throwing off balance, and it looks like he's throwing literally with just pure arm strength.
Yeah.
And so I think he's still got a ways to go. He makes a lot of great throws,
yeah,
but he's got a ways to go. And I just think that the Rams, they're too explosive on offense, and they, people forget they have a really good defense.
Yeah.
So I'm taking the Rams.
Yep. Same here.
Saturday night, Packers at the Bears. Love this matchup. It's on Prime. So exclusively on Prime, Saturday night, 8 o'clock. This is the third time they've played in the last 6 weeks. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Right. Obviously, they play two times a year usually.
Yeah.
But, you know, their matchups were like 3 weeks apart, I think.
Yeah, it's twice in 3 weeks.
Yeah. So Packers took the first one in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Close. I think it was a one possession game. And then the Bears won in overtime week 16 or week 17. It was a hell of a game. They needed an onside kick. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Caleb Williams threw that long touchdown to DJ Moore.
Yeah.
For me, it all comes down to the health of Jordan Love.
Right.
He. I know they said he was healthy enough to play this week, but they sat him. Mm-hmm. He's coming off of, correct me if I'm wrong, a concussion. So he's you know, he's been banged up. Christian Watson's been banged up. Jalen Reed, you know, was on IR a good chunk of the year. He's back. Is he healthy? Brandon Jacobs. What the freak is his name? Josh Jacobs. Thank you. He's been banged up a lot. So I think the health of the Packers in general, for me, is really the story here.
Yeah. I mean, losing Micah Parsons as well.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
That's that whole defense in general has gone, you know, topsy-turvy.
I really feel like they are limping into the playoffs.
Yeah. It's just bad timing in terms of all of it. Obviously, they rested all their starters last week because they had really nothing to play for. They were locked into their position. To me, yeah, it's – I mean, the Packers overall have the better team when healthy. But the problem is they're not healthy.
Correct.
But, yeah, it's going to be tough to go in Chicago, beat the Bears, especially with Ben Johnson. He's going to have the playbook all completely open.
Yeah.
There's going to be nothing going to hold Ben Johnson back in it. And, I mean, he's got him riding high right now. Caleb Williams is going to be his first taste of the playoffs and whatnot. So, to me, I think Ben Johnson also has some stuff to prove, especially with the days in Detroit, you know, finishing, 15-2 last year and getting bounced by Washington directly right off the boat, you know. I think Ben Johnson's going to come out and do some stuff to that Packers limping defense right now. So, it's tougher for Green Bay, but it is what it is.
So, you're taking the Bears?
I am taking the Bears.
Me too. All right. First game on Sunday, the Bills at the Jags, 1 o'clock on CBS. So for me, this,
I don't know where to go with this one.
To me, this is all about the Bills defense.
Yeah.
Because we know what Josh Allen can do. And at the same token, based on the last 4 or 5 weeks, something has been unlocked with Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And so it comes down to the Bills defense and can they get two or three more stops than Jacksonville.
Yep.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, you know, I looked it up earlier. I think the Bills defense have the number one pass defense.
Do they really?
Yeah. But they're atrocious against the run.
Would have never called that.
Yeah, they're atrocious against the run. That's probably why.
Yeah.
But the problem is with the Jaguars is they do not, you know, like you said, it's Trevor Lawrence show.
Yeah.
They don't really focus heavily on the run. Obviously, you have Travis Etienne and Tootle, I believe, is the backup. Yeah. But overall, it's just not their memo. It's not their MO. They're going to pass the ball quite a bit. Trevor Lawrence is going to try to feed the ball to Strange, Brenton Strange.
Yep.
Parker Washington.
Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers. They have a whole string of receivers, and they're going to definitely test that secondary of Buffalo. But Buffalo, with Josh Allen there, as we talked about before our holiday break, this is Josh Allen's year. You do not have Lamar Jackson. or Patrick Mahomes in your way, or Joe Burrow for that matter. Those guys are clearing out of the way. This is your time to shine. This is if it doesn't happen this year, I'm seriously questioning whether Sean McDermott comes back next year, to be honest with you.
We'll get into that as the weeks progress, depending on what happens. But I couldn't agree more. I'm taking the Bills. Mm-hmm. I think that experience is going to play a factor here. I think the Bills are going to win it.
This is going to be a tight game.
I think it's going to be a really good game.
Yeah. I think it's going to come down to like a game-winning drive by Josh Allen, to be honest with
you. It's funny. So Justin, my brother-in-law, was saying this, you know, for the last week or so, and I heard numerous Bills fans in the stadium say it yesterday that they wanted the Bills to lose yesterday so that they would have the 7th seed and they would play the Patriots. I can't understand that.
Yeah.
At all.
Right.
Why you would want to play a division rival a third time when I know they split in the season series, but you really could say that the Patriots should have won both of those games.
Yeah, they're handling the Bills.
Yeah. They were up, I think it was 21-0.
Yeah.
And so I do not understand Bills fans wanting to play the Patriots. Yeah. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong and the Jags will smoke them. I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
I think it's going to be a very good game, but I expect the Bills to come out on top.
Yeah, I'm going with the Bills as well.
Okay. So this next one for me is the game of the week, and it's the 49ers at the Eagles. 4:30 on Sunday, the prime time slot on Fox. For me, I feel very confident in saying that the Eagles offense cannot keep pace with the 49ers offense.
Yeah.
So for me, it all comes down to Philadelphia's defense.
Yeah.
We saw what they did last week against Josh Allen and the Bills. Mm-hmm. They shut him down. They kept him to 12 points. Mm-hmm. It was a dominant performance from that defense. And I truly think it's going to have to be that type of game for the Eagles to have any shot.
Yeah. Throughout the playoffs, I feel like it's going to be, I mean, that's a lot to ask for a defense, to be honest with you, especially with the 49ers, the way they were performing before last week, where they only got held to 3 points by Seattle. But they were trugging and churning, just putting up points at a large degree. So the 49ers, I have a lot of faith in Kyle Shanahan, to be honest with you, to figure it out. I don't think they're going to, post up another three-point stinker that they did against Seattle. I think this is one of those games where McCaffrey is going to definitely have a big game. And I think Brock Purdy, this is where he's, we've always kind of downplayed what Brock Purdy means to that offense. We always talk about how he's, the sum of his components around him. I think this is the postseason where he's going to have to show that he elevates the play of the 49ers. He's been doing it the last quarter of the season. I think he's been playing phenomenal, but it's playoff time, and this is where he has to show up.
Yeah, I'd be curious to hear from Eagles fans how they feel about this matchup, because from a casual fan's perspective, I feel like this was worst case scenario for the Eagles, just because to me, again, outsider looking in, the 49ers are that team for the Eagles that they can just never figure out.
Right.
And the 49ers seem to always match up very well. Kyle Shanahan seems to match up very well with what the Eagles want to do.
Right.
So I'm taking the 49ers.
Likewise.
Okay. Have we picked every single game the same?
Okay. Exactly.
That's not good. Sunday night game, 8:00 Sunday night on NBC. I think this is going to be a sneaky, really good game. And it's the Chargers at the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers coming in as the 7th seed. I was really surprised, side note, that they were okay resting their starters yesterday and taking the L against the Broncos, because going into yesterday, they were the 6th seed.
Yeah.
Right. So if they had won, they would have played Jacksonville, and Buffalo would have had to play New England.
Right.
But they rested starters, they lost, and therefore now they fell back and now they play the Patriots. Very, very curious to me that they were okay doing that. So now they get the Patriots Sunday night. And for me, it's the Chargers defense against New England's offense.
Yeah.
Because New England doesn't have a good defense. They have an okay defense, right? But it's not as good as people like to give them credit for.
I think they've taken a lot of advantage of the schedule.
Correct.
That we always talk about.
And so I think that Justin Herbert is going to have his chances against the defense.
Mm-hmm.
But the Patriots offense, I think, is very, very good.
Yeah.
So to me, it's the Chargers D versus New England's offense.
Yeah. This is going to be a close game. I definitely feel like Justin Herbert has had two tastes of the playoffs. He hasn't performed too well. Two touchdown passes to four interceptions. I think a 55% completion percentage. It's not it's not a winning formula so far for Justin Herbert. But third time might be the charm. I don't think so. I think the Patriots are going to be a little bit too much for the Chargers, to be honest with you, especially in New England. I think the elements are might be a little bit too much for Justin Herbert, to be honest with you. And honestly, I just think they have the better run game as well. The Patriots do.
Yep.
So I think that's going to be the deciding factor, in my opinion. Trayvon Henderson and Ramondre Stevenson. I think those two are going to be more X factors than, you know, Drake May or Justin Herbert.
Okay. So you're taking the Pats?
I'm taking the Pats.
Yeah, me too. All right, and then our Monday night game, which, side note, how do you feel about a Monday night playoff game?
I don't like it.
Me either. I really don't like it. Put an extra game on Saturday, do three Saturday, three Sunday, call it good. Yep. I think it's unnecessary, and if I'm one of those teams that has to play Monday and then turn around on a short week, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
I'm super annoyed.
Same.
So not a fan of it, NFL. but we got the Texans at the Steelers. Obviously, Steelers won last night on a missed field goal. They were able to take the AFC North. So it's 8 o'clock Monday night on ESPN. And for me, this one is very, very easy. The matchup is very easy. It's can Aaron Rodgers literally run for his life enough to evade the Texans pass rush?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to for me.
Yeah. And as easy as we made the Defensive Player of the Year sound with Myles Garrett, because he deservedly deserves it. Will Anderson Jr. put a heck of a year.
A heck of a year.
And, I mean, that Houston Texans defense as a whole.
It's top three.
I just don't feel like the Steelers have enough in the tank. No. Obviously, they snuck in with a missed field goal. I just don't see the Steelers being Texans in any way, shape, or form. This should be the Texans pretty handily and easily, to be honest.
Agreed. Yep. All right, so we literally picked all six games the same.
Yeah, that's scary.
Okay, so as of now, do you want to change? Let me ask you, how are you feeling about your Super Bowl prediction? As a reminder, right? So
that was the hardest one for me to lean towards the Bears over the Packers because I wanted, you know.
I forgot you picked the Packers.
I wanted to stick with the
Packers. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, I look at it realistically, and I'm like, man, they're just limping in there.
Yeah,
I don't. Honestly, if I were to change one, it'd be the Packers over the Bears, just simply because to stick with my original Super Bowl pick.
Yeah.
But it's just hard for me to do it because of the state they are in.
So pick the Super Bowl matchup right now.
In terms of
who you think as of right now is going to be in.
In terms of winners, coming out of the NFC is so rough, just simply because we have all three NFC West. teams making it through into the divisional round, and then after that it's a free for all. I don't think the Bears escape any of those three teams.
No, I don't either.
And then it just becomes a heavyweight matchup over there. I almost want to lean Seattle or LA out of the NFC. And then out of the AFC, honestly, I'm looking at these teams, the Chargers, the Pats, Texans. I mean, the Bills should have the clear-cut way. It's going to be dependent on whether they can stop, Trayvon Henderson. And, I mean, Denver obviously is the number one seed, but I honestly overlook them quite a bit, even though they were originally.
You know, they have 11 wins in one score games.
Yeah.
That's
basically what KC did last year.
Yeah.
To lead to a 15-2 record or whatever it was. Honestly, I look at it's so hard for me. The Bill, like I said, this should be Josh Allen's year. If I'm going purely by heart, I'm going with the Bills. I want the Bills to make it to the Super Bowl. I want him to have his opportunity in the Super Bowl to have his moment because Josh Allen is one of those players that definitely deserves it. And then. In the NFC, I'm going with the Rams. I'm going with the Rams.
Yeah. So I was going to take the Rams as well. Yeah. I still think that if they were to play again, they would beat Seattle.
Yeah.
Because it took a miraculous comeback for Seattle to beat them a few weeks ago.
Yeah. A 2-point conversion.
Yeah. Yeah. And if it's not the Bills, I feel like this is going to surprise you a little bit. Mm-hmm. If it's not the Bills in the AFC, I'm going Houston.
Houston.
Because of their defense.
Yeah.
I think, you know, their offense is just okay, mm-hmm. right? But that's all it needs to be.
Honestly, if the Jaguars pass the Bills too, though, I can see the Jaguars making a run for it too, to be honest with you.
That would shock me.
I think the winner of the Bills and Jaguars game has the lighter passage, I feel like.
Okay.
To get to the Super Bowl. I think that
well, in that scenario, they would go to New England, right? Assuming New England beats mm-hmm. LA, Chargers. The Jags would go to New England.
Yeah.
I don't buy that.
You don't buy the Trevor Lawrence?
I don't. I don't. So for me, it's the Bills or it's Houston. Okay. I'm not a believer in the Broncos. I've been saying it for weeks that they're frauds. Mm-hmm. I think Houston's defense is that good. Yeah. I really do.
No, yeah.
All right. Super wild card weekend is officially here.
Yeah, my mind is just churning possibilities. I know. I'm just looking at my sheet.
I feel like there's so many new teams. There's so many new scenarios this year that this is going to be really, really fun.
Yeah, you don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
What you're going to get.
Really fun.
Yep.
So, absolutely. All right. Hope you guys enjoyed a full show.
Yeah.
You know, right? Breaking down the end of the regular season, the beginning of the playoffs. We will be back next week to break down the wild card weekend and preview the divisional round, which a lot of people say the divisional round is the best weekend in football.
Yep.
So hopefully it lives up to the reputation. Hopefully you guys enjoyed, and we will catch you next week.
See you next week.
We want to hear from you. Stir up some conversation or controversy and reach out to us on our social media platforms to add to the weekly conversations.